What profound disrespect. I mean, is there any greater disrespect than to know that the President of the United States cannot even be bothered to learn your name? That's pretty profound. That is the kind of thing you expect of a czar or an unruly despot of some sort. It is not necessary that I should learn your name, merely your function. And if I say Admiral G, you will come a-running. That's what you... Yeah. Saddam Hussein called people General G and Lieutenant G or whatever. That's what you would expect of a tyrannical despot who doesn't give a hoot about the people around him. Guess what? George W. Bush is a tyrannical despot who doesn't give a hoot about the people around him. Isn't it obvious?
That from now on, we're going to call him Admiral G. Carl, get old Admiral G. Whiz in here.
Revolting. And this guy is the face of America to an increasingly skittish world. There is cause, as they say, for alarum. Let's take our first break. When we come back, some interesting email and a little Halliburton update. And, well, let's keep it a surprise. Lots of stuff tonight. See, I try to prepare in advance sometimes. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Too much at the pump? Your monthly gas budget more expensive than your car payment?
Jeez!
If so, 40 miles per gallon on the highway must sound like a dream come true. Well, time to wake up and get to L&S Toyota. 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley. We've got 35 Corollas available. And with 40 miles to the gallon on the highway, that makes Corolla one of the most fuel-efficient cars on the road.
Yes, 40 miles to the gallon.
All right! And Corollas aren't the only Toyotas that will give you more bang for your buck at the pump. Choose from 25 available Camrys with 33 miles to the gallon and 49 available Tacomas with 27 miles to the gallon. You won't just save money on your car, you'll save big on your gas bill with 35 Corollas, 25 Camrys, and 49 Tacomas available. What else can you ask for? L&S Toyota.
Visit www.toyota.com for details. Sale ends 4/31.
Friday, April 29th, a who's who of leadership training comes together for the Maximum Impact Simulcast, the most powerful leadership event of 2005. Hall of Fame coach Mike Krzyzewski, motivational expert Brian Tracy, Florida State head football coach Bobby Bowden, best-selling authors Patrick Lencioni, Michael Gerber, Marcus Buckingham, and John Maxwell, America's foremost authority on leadership. Don't miss this unforgettable day of leadership development. Friday, April 29th.
Coming to the Raleigh County Armory Civic Center. For tickets, call 255-4600.
Attention shoppers, if anyone is missing a rather plump set of love handles, please come to the customer service counter and claim them. The ample love handles were lost in the produce department where their former owner had purchased fruits and veggies to munch on during the big game. Thank you and have a good day.
Small step number 81, snack on fruits and veggies. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to get healthy. Learn more at www.smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
WWNR Beckley,
West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 17 and a half minutes after 7 o'clock, I'm Bob Kincaid. I neglected to mention that at the top of the show. Sometimes I just assume you know these things. The phone number here, of course, is 252-6200. We took a lightning hit earlier today, I'm told, by John Kebby, and it must have been a doozy. Cooked a monitor, took out the phones. For all I know, you may not be able to reach me. Do feel free to try, however, if the spirit moves you. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620. WWNR. That's 9967, of course. And the stream address, WWNRNewsTalk620.com. And, of course, you can go through that website to my site, headonradio.com. Take part in the message boards, the forums there. They are, of course, free for your usage. Take advantage of them. And you can also send emails to bob@headonradio.com, which would seem to be, as I've said before, the most reliable email address at this point in time. Now, got a fun little email from Stephen, our UK correspondent. He heard me mentioning some of the more foolish laws that abound out there, not the least of which would be this run tattling to the FBI with your drug gossip from the beauty salon that we talked about last night. And that's probably sexist. A barber shop, front porch of the old country store, anywhere gossip goes on. But he also took the time to look up some of West Virginia's more charming, antiquated, and silly laws. And by all means, you'll get a... And it's not a West Virginia thing. Every state has their own. By example, apparently in the state of Massachusetts, it's still on the books that in Boston, it's illegal to take a bath without a prescription. And I can see that, you know, the Pilgrims, the Puritans, you know, the hardcore right-wing fundamentalists of their day passing a law like that. They used to think that being clean was proof of devil worship. But West Virginia laws. One, no children may attend school with their breath smelling of wild onions. One wonders about children attending school with their breath smelling of domesticated onions. Or maybe wild onions in this case would be that most wonderful and pungent of West Virginia delicacies, Appalachian delicacies, ramps. It is that time of year, you know. Two, unmarried couples who live together and lewdly associate with one another may face up to a year in prison. Any person who commits adultery shall be fined at least $20. Seems pretty cheap to me. Must be really old. Now, this is printed right here, and I'm not being gross. Apparently, it is still legal in the state of West Virginia for a male to have sex with an animal as long as it does not exceed 40 pounds. I'm not going anywhere with that. And this, you know, it's off the internet, of course. But this, check this out. This is listed as a loopy law in West Virginia. When you and I have just kind of gotten used to it, haven't we? A tax of 1 cent is levied for every 16 and 9 ounces of soda pop sold in stores. Then there's the dueling stuff. And I'm beginning to think dueling needs to come back. A person may be placed in jail for up to 6 months for making fun of someone who does not accept a challenge. That's an anti-dueling statute. You can't thumb your nose and say, yeah, you didn't accept the challenge, you're a big old sissy. Can't do that. And a person may not hold public office if he or she has ever participated in a duel. I would be willing to bet that that one is carried over from the days of old Virginia. The South, you know, we had that little dueling problem. Sir, you have offended my honor. I call you out to a duel on the morrow. My second will contact your second. And the next thing you know, Aaron Burr's blowing the dickens out of Alexander Hamilton. Who, incidentally, weren't Southern. I mean, it was endemic. It was endemic to the entire young United States at one point. Stephen also notes that this can't even begin to touch some of the crazy ones that are on the books in the UK. And, you know, of course, it's true. They've had longer time to come up with really goofy laws. And he also sends religious bumper stickers from the same site that he found the wacky West Virginia laws. Number one, I don't think this is funny at all. I think it's painfully true. God, please protect me from your followers. Then born-again pagan. And this is just simple and beautiful. ISIS, ISIS, rah, rah, rah. And apparently there's an election coming up in the UK, and Stephen says, I've deliberately not taken any notice of the upcoming election after watching Question Time. as it is election time, all of the messages are roughly similar. Now, see if you can draw a parallel here. See if it sounds like it's anything remotely familiar to you. He says, honestly, Bob, it's the same at every election. We get promised the moon, followed the next day after the election with the traditional excuses why they can't give it to us. And that's the UK, is it? Hmm. Sounds like the WV. Oh, Bob, I tell you what, I think that's just a terrible thing, that third-party bad faith bill. We're going to have to defeat that. Then run right out and vote for it. Oh, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice. What did dear leader say? Fool me twice. Can't get fooled again. And with regard to the English as the official language of West Virginia or anywhere else in the United States, of course, he notes, I wonder when Bush is going to learn English. That's the sad part. He thinks he does. He thinks he speaks English. And that should be enough to put the fear of God in just about anybody. Now, I mentioned a Halliburton update. These happened over the course of a couple of days. This came out last Wednesday, as a matter of fact, a week ago last Wednesday. But sometimes I hold on to stories because they have a way of getting legs and growing tentacles, or maybe the way that neurons in the human body have ways of connecting amongst themselves. They grow these connections, and if you just sit patiently and wait long enough, the same thing will happen with the news. So this is a Reuters report from a week ago last Wednesday. The Defense Department's unable to track how it spent tens of millions of dollars in Iraq, Afghanistan, and elsewhere in the U.S. war on terrorism, according to the General Accounting Office. Now, see, the Bushevics changed the name of that organization to the General Accountability Office. No, it's the General Accounting Office. Accounting is what they do. They call government to account. Neutral, nonpartisan, just hardcore, single-minded ledger scanners. And according to the GAO, the Defense Department is unable to track how it spent tens of millions of dollars in Iraq. Well, how do you like that? Can't find tens of millions of dollars. Funny, I thought it was $8.8 billion we couldn't find. Oh, well, that's a different accounting nightmare. They're at least trying to keep their books separate. The Defense Department, listen carefully, because remember, it's your money. The Defense Department doesn't have a system to be able to determine with any degree of reliability and specificity how we spent tens of millions in war-related emergency funds set aside by Congress, according to Comptroller General David Walker. Now, the Congress had approved $25 billion in extra defense spending for fiscal 2005, ending on September 30th. And, of course, there's another $81 billion that came up, what, today maybe? Outside the normal budget process. So that's 81 plus 25, that's 86. That's $106 billion. That ain't pocket change. And we may rest assured, according to the General Accounting Office, that of that $106 billion, out of that, some significant percentage of it will just be lost. Lost my left hind foot. Lost my old Aunt Matilda. Nothing lost about that money. You know where it goes. In crisp, unmarked five, tens, twenties, and occasionally fifties. You know where it goes. It goes to... The U.S. Army will pay $1.8 billion to Kellogg Brown and Root, a subsidiary of Halliburton Company, for dining services in Iraq and Kuwait, but retain a portion of payments suspended during a long-running billing dispute. You know where it goes. It's not lost. There's nothing lost about it. If that money could talk, it would not be running to the customer service desk to say, "Excuse me, I'm lost. I can't find my mommy and daddy." No, sir. That money knows exactly where it is. And it's warm and comfy where it is. In the fat, padded wallet of a Halliburton executive. Cozy, isn't it? $1.8 billion to KBR, Kellogg Burn and Loot, for dining services. $29 a day, remember? $29 a day. Do you also remember the rotten meat and the rotten vegetables that they got caught trying to serve our troops?
That's okay. They wouldn't have the business if George Bush didn't want them to have it, and George Bush wouldn't want them to have it if they wasn't a good company, because he's a good moral man.
Probably the same type of people believe that are out there filing down slugs to try to put into pop machines. Amazing. Now, what kind of hissy would Republicans be? I'm just curious, would Republicans be having if there was a GAO report that said, some Democratic presidential administration had lost the handle on millions and hundreds of millions and billions of taxpayer dollars? I mean, a girlfriend got the last democratically elected president impeached. If a Democrat lost that kind of money, what would a Republican do? You see how they are, though, don't you? Not somebody you'd exactly want to trust with your money. All right, it's break time. A little bit of something from Carl Mack, followed by the Workers' Independent News Service, and we'll get back at it. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Police are looking for the person or persons who broke into parked vehicles at Little Beaver State Park this week. Someone broke the windows of five vehicles Tuesday, stole purses and other items. The break-ins occurred in the parking lot behind the playground at the park, and sheriff's deputies say they have suspects but are withholding names pending investigation. Anyone who saw a suspicious vehicle or any suspicious activity related to this incident should call the sheriff's office, their number 255-9300. Beckley police have arrested a man suspected of using a fake ID to open a bogus checking account. He's Eric Von Washington of Seattle, arrested yesterday morning after police received a tip he was staying in a house on Antonio Avenue. When police went to the house to investigate, Washington went to an upstairs bedroom, jumped out the window, and fled on foot. Police chased him from Antonio to Moule Avenue, where he was arrested. They found false identification cards in his possession. Washington is thought to have stolen the photo ID of a Louisiana man and used it to open a checking account at City National Bank. He's suspected of cashing a number of worthless checks in local businesses. A Mercer County woman is dead after an early morning accident on the turnpike near Gent. State police say Chastity Sue Rose of Princeton was traveling south on I-77 around 7 o'clock this morning when her car went through the median and into the northbound lane where it went into the rear wheels of a tractor trailer. Rose was pronounced dead at Raleigh General. No other vehicles involved in the tractor trailer driver was not injured. That's the news. Now here's the forecast. For the rest of this evening, showers and thunderstorms. Some could contain gusty winds and heavy rain. Temperatures drop now to around 50 tonight. Saturday, much cooler with showers. Showers beginning to move in around 4 o'clock. And Saturday's high near 40. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack. When you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
No contract, no peace! No contract, no peace!
Wisconsin state employees without a contract after 2 years of attempted negotiations rallied at the state capitol demanding justice for public employees as the state decides its two-year budget. Gerald McEntee, national president of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, gave Wisconsin state workers a $100,000 check at the rally as he vowed solidarity with state workers under attack in Wisconsin and across the nation.
When they're all gone, and we have seen in state after state, whenever they have battled us, when they have challenged us, by God, they're gone. By God, we'll be back time after time after time.
University of Wisconsin students like Paula Wild joined the workers' protest in Madison.
We're demanding lower tuition for the students, and we're demanding a fair contract for the workers, universal health care for all, and they better give it to us. I'm just so glad to see so many people out here today.
State corrections worker Chris Musha says workers are frustrated by no raises in years and the state's take-it-or-leave-it approach to bargaining.
If the governor had it the way he wanted it, I would have to pay back pay on all my health insurance, and that sum came to over $2,500 for my health plan with my family. So for the common Joe that doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of money, $2,500 that I would have to pay back to the state, that pretty much sums it up there in a nutshell.
The rally ended to the drumbeats of worker protest in the state capitol rotunda.
A bitter 7-week bus strike in Westchester County, New York, came to an end on Wednesday. The company, Liberty Lines, refused to negotiate with the Transport Workers Union for weeks. On April 11th, the Westchester legislature stepped in and ordered the two sides to sit down together. In the end, both sides made compromises. The company agreed to larger annual increases, higher starting salaries, and to cover a larger portion of health care. Workers agreed to a higher weekly health care contribution. The union also buckled on a demand that workers with 20 years of service be allowed to retire at 57 with full benefits. Under the new four-year contract, the retirement age will drop to 61 next year, 60 the following year, and 59 by 2008. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. With wage growth continuing to trail inflation growth, a new Washington Post poll shows Americans losing faith in the economy. 48% of respondents believe the economy is getting worse, while only 14% believe it is getting better. Last year, the consumer price index rose by 2.7%, while wages rose only 2.5%. It's the first time inflation has outpaced wage growth since the 1991 recession.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR, Beckley.
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head on.
Welcome back. I got it. Don't complain about being tired, Bob. It makes people mad. 24 minutes before 8 o'clock at Head On, I'm Bob Kincaid. The phone number, and it appears, hey, they work. And you know, you can't blame. I wasn't here when the lightning strike came, so it wasn't anything I said. But anyway, they do work. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. It was really neat to see my daughter get excited about the social studies fair. Got over her nervousness, marched right in there, and told them what they needed to know. And we're already talking about next year. What do you think of this for a theme? Mountain range removal. National need or corporate greed? I like that. And I'm sure our friends at Coal River Mountain Watch would provide us with several nice glossy photographs and interviews. Yeah, real chance to do some social science there. Yeah, I think that's, of course, here soon there we'll be doing 2 and 3 social studies projects a year. My lovely wife carried the ball exclusively on this one. All I did, I just drove. So she's the one that deserves the credit for getting our lovely daughter ready. Let's do go to the phones since they work, while they work. Chris is with us. Hey, Chris, you're Head On. Doing good. Well, no, I think it probably had something to do with Flush Flemball's heresy, because every time he says, talent on loan from God. You know, I've got a buddy who every time he hears that, he screams, margin call!
Maybe all that money disappeared with Arlen Specter's hair.
Now that's low, Chris. That's low. Poor dude.
That is pretty low.
Yeah, poor dude's eat up with cancer. And, you know, it's scary. You know, he's a Republican, but he's not the worst kind of Republican.
Well, they should pass a law about Republicans getting cancer.
Right. Yeah, well, that's a Democratic plot, don't you understand?
Yeah.
You know, it has nothing to do with corporate poisoning or anything. Oh, my God. I can't believe you would do that.
I had no choice.
Yeah. Somewhere in the stack here, I keep meaning to get to your news flash regarding regarding Bob Novak.
Should I go ahead and do that?
Yeah, do it. Do, please.
Okay, this comes in just in from 1939, the Nazi Daily paper. Robert Novak has exposed the residence where Anne Frank is hiding.
What a classy
guy. And he says that, you know, this little girl, this little Polish girl, deserves to suffer like the rest of the non-believers of the party, and he called the Gestapo, you know, collect, and he's got him on the run over there. So, Anne Frank, if you're listening, your publishing career is in jeopardy. Please run. Robert Novak is on the case.
And now they're getting ready to what? The cases have been rejected for the Judith Miller at the New York Times and whoever the guy is at the magazine, and still, to the best of our knowledge, no one has taken the testimony of Robert Novak. Do you think they're even remotely serious about finding out who committed this arguably serious federal offense, Chris?
Well, no, they're not. Even John Dean said it's a felony, you know, to do that. It's against the law. But, you know, Novak.
But apparently it's SOP, standard operating procedure, because in some more of the sleaze that's coming out about John Bolton, and God help me, I still can't say his name without hearing that awful song in the back of my head. I've got him hopelessly confused with Michael Bolton.
He looks like an out-of-work detective from Large Slap, Indiana or something.
Yes, he does.
That mustache.
That big old unruly mustache. But apparently he had a habit when he was in one of his former positions. Well, you got to back up a little bit. The National Security Agency, by virtue of federal law, is forbidden from keeping tabs on American citizens without a really, really good reason to do so. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And they have to scrub the names of American citizens from their communiques.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, for purposes of this examination, let's assume that they do.
Okay.
John Bolton got in touch with the NSA on a number of occasions and demanded that he be given the unredacted, uncleaned up, unscrubbed NSA communiques. Now, who's this guy keeping tabs on?
Well, I wonder if he's got his own parking space at the Echelon station just upstate West Virginia.
You never know. He probably does.
Yeah, Michael Savage is commuting with him. I want to thank you, John, for helping me get over here. Never been inside one of these before. Where's the snapper?
Oh God, Chris, thanks for the help. I'm a little bit wacky just from going for the last couple of days.
Well, I haven't called in 3 or 4 days, so I figured I would make it worthwhile.
you've certainly earned us paying the freight on the call, Chris. I appreciate it, man.
Okay, bye-bye. I love the show.
Borders language culture there, Chris. Don't you ever forget.
In the culture, yeah.
Later.
Bye.
Bye now. And Jim, hey, Jim, you're head on.
Good evening. How are you?
A little slap happy, but I guess I'll get through.
Good, good. I trust you weathered the storm.
I never saw it.
Well, mighty Zeus from Olympus did hurl a thunderbolt toward Beckley.
Apparently it was close enough to do us in.
You know, you mentioned something last night about the Senate Bill 786, which of course is the bill that's going to emasculate Noah.
Right.
And going to LLC at Thomas at LLC.gov.
Right.
It says here, the National Weather Service shall not provide or assist other entities in providing a service or product that is or could not be provided by the private sector.
And it all kind of comes together, what the Harvard specialist said about, you know, God only knows what that means.
Well, basically, what they're trying to do is to destroy another federal agency, the things which they love to do the best.
Well, I think so. You know, now they say no. This has nothing to do with the normal functions of the National Weather Service. I don't believe them.
I don't either. And I'll tell you something right now. I saw a very interesting special on the city of Galveston and the earthquake or the hurricane that occurred in that city back in the early 1900s.
Yeah, that was a monster.
And because of one man's arrogance and stupidity, 6,000 people died. And that was before the National Weather Service really became much more than what it is now, okay?
Right.
I mean, we're talking about everything with NOAA. And why they want to destroy this agency and why they want to do this is beyond me.
Reach in your pocket, Jim. Pull out a little folding green. Look at it real hard, and then the answer will come to you. Honest to God. It's money. It's always money with these people. You know, if they're not looking at somebody else's life for sex, then they're looking to their own for money. And I believe that with all of my heart. You know, how about at the airports? I mean, now that we don't run them anymore, I can say that I had real issues with AccuWeather. Because, you know, half the time, you know, oh, it's going to rain cats and dogs this weekend, and, you know, it would be positively desiccated.
Right.
And so a pilot's going to call AccuWeather to find out what the ceiling is? Or what the direction of the winds are?
But, you know, NOAA is much more encompassing than just any weather service.
Oh, I understand that.
I mean, read the whole acronym of what NOAA stands for.
National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
Exactly. And, I mean, this provides a number of services, and I mean, I can't understand where there's money to be made out of destroying it.
Well, beyond that, Jim, you've got to understand that there's a philosophical school at work in the Republican Party that believes that NOAA has no business existing. You know, in the pure rarefied air of the laissez-faire marketplace, if people die from hurricanes or tsunamis or whatever, well, you know, if they had been more economically successful, they could have gotten to higher ground and wouldn't have died. So it's their fault anyway, and it's it's, you know, none of government's business. Now that may sound crazy to you; it certainly sounds crazy to me.
It does to me. As a matter of fact, my sanity reels even at the sound of those words.
I know, but there are people who will sit at a cocktail party and look you square in the eye and keep a straight face and tell you that that's the way that Jefferson and Madison and company envisioned our government.
Yeah, I hear some of those idiots on the morning show when I happen to be flipping through channels and I hear some people.
Why does my tax money have to be used to predict the weather? It ain't fair. I could have a tax, some more tax cut if we wasn't paying no meteorologists. Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
Well, you know, it's just like this administration says that there's no such thing as global warming or whatever. But the other night on the National Geographic special, and I mean, these are very well-researched programs. They pointed out to the changes that are occurring because of man, okay?
Mm-hmm.
For example, how like man moves species of life from one part of the world to the next.
Yeah.
And it's not exactly compatible. And because of a certain type of plant that they put in a large African lake, which is dried up by and large, you have dust being blown into the Caribbean, which is mutagenic and carcinogenic.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're talking about the problems with caribou herds and things that are happening to them because of the global warming. and how they can't sustain the viability of a herd because of the increases in temperature.
Well,
and the plankton count and how important that is in the oceanic food chain.
15, 20 years, the only place you'll be able to see a polar bear is a zoo or in a picture book?
Well, I'm afraid it's going to be a lot more than that, friend. There won't be any zoos around on the coast because I can guarantee you those zoos might be underwater.
Oh, I think that's entirely possible.
But, I mean, I don't understand how in the world anyone who has any sense or any sense of responsibility could ignore the handwriting on the wall. I mean, surely to God, not everyone is attending Belshazzar's feast.
I tend to think they are. Everyone isn't, Jim. I mean, let's be fair. There's a substantial portion of the audience for this show every night. It consists of people who are paying close, grim, painful attention to what is going to be passed off as a future for us in 10 or 15, maybe 50 years. They're paying close attention, but and they're doing everything they can individually to try to help. But this is the kind of thing that takes government leadership. It takes government. It takes governing. And as long as the drunks are in charge of the liquor cabinet, there's not a hell of a lot of hope for us. I mean, we talked about the energy bill last night, right?
Yeah, we did. I see where Shelley Moore, true to her form, and being not an apple falling too far from the tree of her old
cretinous daddy,
jailbird daddy, and basically she's nothing, but as far as I'm concerned, just a political prostitute.
Oh, she's an indictment waiting to happen.
Exactly. I mean, you know, I wonder where they're going to put her when all this stuff breaks up. But at least Nick Rahal has the courage not to vote for that energy bill.
Yeah, I'm proud of him for that. I'm glad you mentioned that.
I've let him know it. You know, I let him know it when I don't like it, and I let him know it when I do like it. You know, that's the way you got to do.
And, you know, I think he's an intellectually upstanding and honest man enough that when you tell him you don't like it, he accepts that. I mean, he wants to know one way or another.
Well, I mean, you know, if I were in his position, I would want to know what my people like and don't like, and any politician should do that.
Right.
Unfortunately, we've got some up there like Bush and some of the others. They don't give a damn who likes what they do. They think they've got so much political capital that they can spend it to achieve any efforts they want to. But I'll tell you this right now, as far as I'm concerned, that sort of attitude is not only pride, it's hubris, and they are in for a rough, rough and rude awakening.
Well, I'm just...
And I can promise you that.
I'm just waiting for the alarm clock to ring.
But, I mean, this program the other night, when I watched it, and, you know, and I watched the, you know, the multiplier effects on the efforts of man to basically the global warming just by 1 degree can really cause terrific consequences. And yet this administration says, oh, there's no such thing.
Oh, I know.
And the lake that I'm talking about that's almost dried up is Lake Chad. Bob, I can remember when that was one of the largest inland bodies in Africa.
Yeah.
And it's practically gone.
Well, and the same thing with no snickering on the part of the ignorant here. Lake Titicaca in South America.
In the Andes.
Yeah, in Bolivia. It shrinks a little more every year. And that's not just nature.
No, it's not. It's not. These things and what they cause, you know, as far as, and this being Earth Day, I think it's meet and right for us to discuss this.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, these things are going to have tremendous effects upon this world.
Well, consider, if you will, Jim, this, you know, the ANWR drilling provision that's contained in this energy bill.
Right.
Do you realize, I think I was listening to Mike Malloy when I heard this. Do you realize that if we merely raise the fleet averages on American domestic automobiles to, I think, what, 40 miles a gallon? The fleet average, mind you.
Right.
you know, there's still Hummers out there and SUVs and things that do 10 miles a gallon, but raise the fleet average to 40 miles a gallon, that would save more oil than they can ever drill out of Anwar?
Well,
that's a little
soap. How much oil do they expect to get out of this place, and how are they going to get it down here?
To answer your second question first, Jim, it ain't coming here. It is not coming to America.
Okay, where is it going?
Asia, just like the North Slope crude goes to Asia.
I see. Okay. Well, I see. Well, good luck to them when they go up there to try to drill it, but I can guarantee you one thing. When they get up there in the summer...
There are mosquitoes up there the size of motorhomes.
Right. And, you know, in that part of the world, even if you build a structure, you've got all that permafrost underneath it. And I know what they have to do in the Soviet Union, or the former Soviet Union in Siberia. If you ever see houses in that part of the world, a lot of them are just look like a cocked hat. But in order to build any kind of structure or building, they have to take steam drills and go down, I don't know, about 300 feet so that they can anchor that thing so that when the permafrost melts, it won't, you know, the building doesn't fall over.
Right.
I mean, it's not exactly environmentally friendly place, and maybe it was made for that purpose. Maybe there was some higher power that says, you know, don't come here.
But you see, they think they've already got all the engineering figured out because they did the Trans-Alaska pipeline. And so they'll just put that to use.
Uh-huh. Well,
and here's the other sad fact involved in this. I think all of us on the right side, on the correct side of the debate, can pretty fairly be qualified as pro-labor, right?
Pro-labor?
Yeah, and pro-organized labor.
Of course, yes.
Well, every now and then, organized labor, or some portion thereof, loses its collective mind and supports foolishness like the Anwar drilling. To wit, the Teamsters, if I'm not mistaken, are absolutely sprayed roach crazy about the idea of getting to go and drill in the Anwar because they think that it's just, you know, it's a temporary job. It's going to run out, but they think that everybody's going to be up to their neck in frisbees and wheat checks, and that the Bush administration is going to bend over backwards to give Teamsters members jobs driving truck in the Anwar.
Really?
Yeah. Go figure.
I believe you.
And it's crazy. I mean, it's ignorant crazy.
Well, you know, there are those people who sell their birthright for a mess of pottage, and that's what they're doing.
Yeah, and it's mighty poor pottage at that, Jim.
Exactly. It's just a bone that they happen to throw out because nobody else wants it for them, and they're that desperate for some kind of job.
Well, it's amazing. Thanks so much, Jim. We got to hit the break.
All right.
Take care, and have a great weekend. All right. When we come back, a little fun story from the FBI. How about that? And maybe it's Earth Day. Wait a minute. Never mind the FBI. It's Earth Day. And I'm glad Jim reminded me. Let's talk about Mercury. Do let's. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Career that took off like a rocket. I'm Chris Whitting with The Success Journal. John Hendricks grew up on science. He lived near a NASA lab that built rocket engines. He'd often wake to the roar of rockets. John's love of science stayed with him. Years later, he ended up in the education field, selling video programs about nature and science. John's timing with the tapes was perfect. cable TV was starting to explode, and he soon realized that his programs could be popular. So, he launched an educational cable channel. In less than a year, it had millions of subscribers. I'm sure you know the network created by John Hendricks. The Discovery Channel, along with the History Channel and lots more. He's built an empire that's out of this world. With the Success Journal, I'm Chris Whitting.
Don't let the recent news about your arthritis medicine stop you from treating your arthritis pain. Talk to your doctor. No pain reliever has been proven safer than Tylenol when used as directed. That's one reason why arthritis experts recommend the medicine in Tylenol Arthritis Pain as a first choice. For all-day relief without a prescription, ask your doctor about Tylenol Arthritis Pain. Stop. Think. Tylenol.
Tylenol Arthritis Pain lasts up to 8 hours. Use only as directed.
Expect double the enjoyment. Expect twice the shopping. Expect half off. It's Kohl's 50% off sale this Friday and Saturday only from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. You'll save 50% on all juniors, young men's, girls, and boys' graphic tees. And on all kids' Carter's and Help Sex playwear. Enjoy 50% savings on Mrs. Junior's and Girls' Capris. All solid color bath towels and all frames. Plus save 50% on everything in our summer living patio shop. Don't miss Kohl's 50% off sale this Friday and Saturday only. Kohl's. Expect great things.
Did you know your home can cause twice the greenhouse gases of your car? It's true. The good news is you can help with Energy Star. The EPA urges you to take steps to reduce your home energy bills and make a big difference in the fight against air pollution. Visit EnergyStar.gov.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history.
You can depend on us.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 8 o'clock.
You can forget report card day.
Yeah, my mom and dad sure didn't.
Can Jimmy come out and play?
This month, he'll be doing homework with his dad.
Family, isn't it about time? From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Channel. Slight risk of severe weather as we look at hail and wind from thunderstorms forming this evening. Overnight low eventually 52. We'll have clouds and showers and thunder is possible again with the upper low as we look at Saturday afternoon. High much cooler around 54 with a pretty good west breeze. We'll hold in Sunday's forecast with occasional snow showers, believe it or not. Pretty cold front coming through. High only 39 on Sunday.
WWNR Beckley.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock, hour number two this Friday night. I'm Bob Kincaid. Now, the phone numbers are 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. And, of course, again, email to bob@headonradio.com. It is Earth Day. You know, I remember the first Earth Day very, very well. It happened when I was in first grade. Unfortunately, I don't remember it for what it should be remembered for. I remember it because that was the day my bicycle got stolen. That was a beauty, too. Big old handlebars, purple, bright metallic purple. Got stolen that day. Still not over it. You've already heard it. I apologize. But we do know that when you burn coal in power plants, more than just smoke goes up the smoke stacks. There's other stuff in there too, right? You've been paying attention, you know. Everybody raise your hand if you know what one of those really nasty things that's in the smoke. Yeah, that's right, mercury. Mercury. Coal-fired power plants are responsible for 41% of the total mercury emitted by all known U.S. sources. So, in one of our border states, one of our sister border states, to wit, Maryland, please drive gently. Do they still have that at the state line? Welcome to Maryland. Please drive gently. I just love that. No, in Maryland, 22 state senators and delegates volunteered to participate in a test last month. And the test was of mercury levels in their bodies. Because remember, mercury is forever. And it turns out that all 22 of the participants had at least some amount of mercury in their system. Seven of them, including four female legislators, had levels that the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency says are unsafe for women of childbearing age. Mike Tidwell of the Chesapeake Climate Action Network, a co-sponsor of the test, said, "These results, taken from some of our highest political leaders, show just how dangerous and widespread the mercury threat has become in our state. Until we scrub mercury from our dirtiest power plants using available, cost-effective technology, emphasis on available and cost-effective, we'll surely see more children, more pregnant women put at risk." Now, how did they do this? The 22 of hair sampled, and that level is considered by the Environmental Protection Agency to be dangerous for women of childbearing age, that being age 16 to 49 years old. Now, and this seems to be one of the, every time, whether it's aluminum or manganese or mercury, one of the first following sentence, it's a toxic metal which can cause serious neurological to the religion industry right-wing nuts. Mercury is a toxic heavy metal which, when ingested, can cause serious neurological damage, particularly to developing babies. The ones in the womb, the ones already born, the ones toddling about, and the ones that are really, when you get down to it, there's really nobody that mercury is good for. Nobody. Not even George and Dick. And they're monsters. The creature from the Black Lagoon would not do well to conjure. But this leads you to wonder. Every one of those 22 legislators had some amount of mercury poisoning in their system. What would happen if we tested legislators here in West Virginia, right smack dab on top of the coal, and with some seriously nasty coal-fired power plants? What would we find with them? Remember, I mentioned in the past, and many of you have read Lewis Carroll, and you know about the Mad Hatter's Tea Party, and you know that the image or stereotype of the Mad Hatter came from the fact that hatters worked extensively with mercury when turning like beaver fur into felt. You got to wonder what the mercury levels in our legislators would look like. Woohoo! Now, I have my own theory. And my theory is that the mercury levels in our own West Virginia legislators probably go a long way toward explaining third-party bad faith immunity, go a long way toward explaining tongue-splitting bills, go a long way when the legislature. Mercury. In our legislators. Never mind the children. We've got mercury in our lawmakers. Aren't you sad? But here's a news flash. It's in you, too. It's in me. It's in your kids. Why? Because Don Blankenship hasn't figured out yet that they don't hook U-Hauls to hearses. Honest to Pete. Mercury. Aluminum. Manganese. And it all seems to impact one's neurologic functions. Like I said, 41% of the total mercury emitted in all known U.S. sources comes from coal-fired power plants. And the technology exists today, here, right now, to take it out. and they were going to do something about that in Maryland. They had the Maryland 4 pollutant bill, and it would have reduced by 90% the mercury from the state's 7 dirtiest coal-fired power plants. Wonder whose coal they were burning. Ours. We're responsible. Shame on you, poisoning Maryland legislators. Bunch of Borgias. They were all set to wipe out 90% of the mercury from the state's 7 dirtiest plants. It would have given the state millions of dollars in health treatment savings and God knows how much in benefits to otherwise injured children. Guess what? Same thing happened in Maryland that happened in the United States Congress. The big power industry came along with their great, with their greasy little brown paper bags full of money. And the 4 pollutant bill died a painful death. The Marant Corporation killed the bill. Of course, they're a an energy company. Over and over and over we see this. And is it that we don't have a fit about this because we're too tired? Is it that we don't have a fit about this because we're too disinterested? Or, and I prefer this alternative because it can be remedied, is it because so few people know? So very few people know. You know, you got to wonder if maybe the wives of the guys who work for Massey know that their husbands are actively involved in the poisoning game and that the poisoning extends to their own little children. I was at that social studies fair today, and I saw some little kid walking around in Massey stripes. And it almost brought tears to my eyes. It was heartrending. That kid is being taught to go and work for his own poisoner. Honest to God, it's like going out and buying the arsenic for Lucretia Borgia. It really is. But it is, I think. It's not willful ignorance. And it's not because we're too busy or distracted. I don't know of anybody that if you told them what's going on, they wouldn't be horrified. Except for a few choice Republicans. Well, Bob, we got it. It's America's most readily available form of energy. Devil, you say. You got to blow an entire mountain off to get at it, and it's America's most readily available form of energy. Well, if that just doesn't beat cats climbing a tree. Makes me want to run out and get some hair samples and have myself and my lovely wife and my children tested. Bad. Sad. Happy Earth Day. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Nearly 70 million Americans, men, women, the old, and the young, share a common enemy, arthritis. Make a difference in the fight against arthritis. Team up with Colony Drug, the Arthritis Foundation, and Southern Communications for Beckley's second Arthritis Walk, Thursday, May 19th, on the McManus Rail Trail at New River Park. Have fun and help fight the nation's leading cause of disability, arthritis. Form a team with your friends and family. For details, call Colony Drug and Wellness Center at 252-5305 and join us May 19th for a walk in the park.
Any of you guys out there looking for the girl next door? Because I know where you can find her. Cupid.com. It's a place to meet women that live close by. Cupid.com isn't interested in compiling some big worldwide network. They're focused on putting you in touch with the cuties you pass on your way to work. People who share your same area code. Basic Cupid memberships are free with zero obligations. You can even reply to messages from gold members, a service you usually pay for on other sites. You can remain anonymous and still put Cupid's auto match to work, locating women with your favorite traits and qualities. bigger online dating sites show you a universe of women, which is perfect if you're into long-distance relationships. But Cupid.com shrinks that world to women right in your backyard, because the girl next door never lives three states away. Find your true love at Cupid.com, either online or at one of our fun local events.
Cupid.com, advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
Have you ever wondered where to send your visiting friends and relatives when they visit this year? Make plans to visit the Southern West Virginia Convention and Visitors Bureau's Travel Expo at Crossroads Mall April 30th and May 1st to learn about all the great attractions and activities right here in our own backyard. Southern West Virginia. Got it in ya? Call 252-2244 for more information.
WWNR Beckley.
Radio for the real majority. Head on.
Welcome back. 21 minutes after 8 o'clock. Yeah, the story goes on. I wasn't done. We just had to take a break. Guys, and ladies, too. I mean, it's certainly not gender specific. Ever take a little kid fishing? See that magical smile on their face? And it's not a smile. It's a grin. It's one of those biggins. When Junior hauls his first fish out of the stream, river, lake, pond. I mean, it's like Christmas, Easter, and Halloween all rolled into one. That fish out there. Well, in Maryland, as in West Virginia, don't eat it. You can't eat it. The fish are poison. Do you ever go fishing by the river bank or by a trout stream and catch a couple and build the fire right there? Cook them right there on the bank of the river. That's something special. And I mean, if for flavor, you know, go out in the woods, find a few little of this, little of that, some herbs, wrap them up or bury them. You know, there's several different ways of going about it. Cook them that way. Yummy. Don't do it. Don't do it. Because when the mercury goes up in the sky with the coal smoke and it rains, well, mercury's very heavy. It's heavy metal. And it's not cool. Because it's so very heavy, it falls out of the sky very easily. And it lands in rivers. And it lands in lakes. And it lands in streams. And it lands in commercial fish farm ponds. I mean, you can't get away from it. And the little fishies, they don't know any better. They eat it. And it stays in their body just like it stays in ours. And every time they eat a little bit more. Quicksilver. Mercury. And every time you eat fish, you eat a little bit more. Yummy. So, don't let Junior eat the fish. There are advisories out statewide for West Virginia. There are advisories out statewide for Maryland. I don't know, Virginia, Kentucky, Ohio, Pennsylvania. I mean, the whole country is polluted. But if you were to say, you know, if you were to suggest doing anything about this, Fat Cat Energy Insider lobbyist would squeal like hogs going up the ramp in autumn at killing time. Because, again, they don't care about mercury, manganese, aluminum, anything. They care about, say it with me, 1, 2, 3, money. And they are, each and every one of them, willing to die as mad as a hatter, as long as they die mad and rich. You, on the other hand, I'm thinking you're not going to die so rich. But you run every risk of dying just as mad. You know, real woo mad. You know, talking to your grandma in the middle of the night and she's been dead for 50 years. That kind of crazy. Dementia. Did you see the article in the Charleston paper this morning about West Virginia's growing dementia problem? It's not all Alzheimer's, or if it is Alzheimer's, it's, you know, there's something else working there. Could it be Mercury? Sure could. And, you know, if this problem gets... Don't worry, because Congress is on the job. If the problem does get much more notoriety, if people do start finding out what's happening, what happens every time they open up a can of Chicken of the Sea or Starkist, that they're new with mercury flavoring, you know, have a little truth in advertising on the labels. But don't you worry, Congress is on the job. If they, if the groundswell of outrage about the poisoning of us and the next generation and the next generation becomes loud enough, the Republican Congress will take action. Absolutely, the Republican Congress will take action. They proved it yesterday with the energy bill. Yes, they did. Because there was a bit of a poisoning issue, mostly out west, with regard to a gasoline additive. MTBE. That's what it's called, MTBE. Methyl tetrabutanolated ethanolacin. All. I have no idea. MTBE. I do know that just like mercury, it is a profound neurological toxin. It will rot your brain in a hurry. And there is an absolute hue and cry out west about it. People are genuinely angry that the gasoline companies have been allowed, that because this stuff hits the ground and it sinks in and it you can't get rid of it. And the gasoline industry has poisoned most of the freshwater supplies in the West. And Congress, oh, this responsive Republican Congress, they addressed the problem. They heard the hue and cry of the American people, and they answered it. And they answered it by including in the energy bill a blanket lawsuit immunity for the companies who have poisoned the West with MTBE and parts of the East. That seems to be the going trend anymore. If people are being hurt by a corporation, you don't protect the people from the corporation. What you do is protect the corporation from the people who've been hurt. Now, you explain to me what kind of bass-ackwards America that is. Because it plumb astonishes me. So, yeah, they did that. So if there's enough of a hue and cry, you may rest assured that the next thing you'll hear out of George Bush's mouth is, we gotta protect Americans from these people who've won life's lottery by eating a bunch of mercury and having their brains as rotted as mine is. Write it down. I said it today, the 22nd of April, 2005. Give him another year or so before the Protecting America's Children Mercury Lawsuit Immunity Act of 2006 is announced. And you know there's every... you know how likely it is, don't you? Yes, you do. It's becoming a litany. An absolute litany of poison. Of course, I told you this administration was poison, but some of you were out there busy saying that George Bush will keep the queers from getting married. And that's a real threat to American families. Now, mercury is a threat to American families. MTBE is a threat to American families. Manganese is a threat to American families. Magnesium is a threat to American families. Magnesium is a threat to American families. It's not the gay people. A lot of you know this and understand, and I apologize if you think I'm preaching at you. I'm not. I'm not preaching. Just trying to get across. And that's all you can do, is try. And we'll try again in a little bit. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On. Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A 9-foot python is on the loose in Fayette County. The snake was reported missing 2 weeks ago from the owner in Oak Hill. Police Lieutenant Michael Jarvis responded to the initial call. He says the snake has not been seen since. Adam Lilly is a shift supervisor at Petland in Beckley and the owner of an 8-foot python, and he says the reptilian fugitive has three priorities: food, heat, and staying away from people. He says they are most aggressive if they're hungry. So Lilly advises pet owners in the area to keep them indoors until the python is located. A truck driver has died. Nearly 50 emergency workers have been treated for hazardous chemical exposure after an accident in Mingo County. The flatbed truck crashed and burst into flames just before midnight last night on Route 119 near Miller's Creek and Naugatuck. The four-lane highway remained shut down in both directions this afternoon and this evening because of that accident, and police are asking drivers to avoid the area. The truck was carrying barrels of a polyurethane-based material called Repuno-2 that is used to fill the tires of off-road coal mining and construction equipment to prevent flats. The chemical is manufactured by Arnco, based in Southgate, California. The U.S. House of Representatives has passed an energy bill that would open an Alaska wildlife refuge to oil drilling and provide billions of dollars in benefits to energy industries. Congressman Rahal voted against the bill. He said it ignores coal. Rahal and other Democrats on the House Resources Committee argued the bill would give $8 billion in tax relief to big oil conglomerates while doing nothing to ease America's pain at the gas pumps. That's the news. Now here's the forecast for this evening. Watch out for showers and some severe thunderstorms could move in, with heavy rains the most likely feature. Then later on this evening, showers and thunderstorms continue. Gets windy. Temperatures from the west, southwest at around 25 mile an hour. And then for Saturday, cloudy with showers and much cooler, high near 45. Saturday night, cloudy and cold with rain becoming mixed with snow showers and turning to all snow showers. Saturday night's low, an unbelievable 26. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack.
Time for another Gooberhead Award, presented periodically to those in the news who've got their tongues running 100 miles per hour but forgot to put their brains in gear. Today's goober is H. Lee Scott Jr., and boy, is he hot. H. Lee is honcho of the ever-sprawling Walmart empire, and he recently threw a public hissy fit at all of you workers, consumers, neighborhood groups, taxpayers, environmentalists, local businesses, public officials, women's advocates, local newspapers, and gosh, so many more who've had the audacity to criticize the world's largest corporation. Walmart never does anything that isn't calculated, so even the honcho's hissy fit was carefully scripted. It came as part of a two-day media event for about 50 journalists who flew to the corporate compound in Bentonville, Arkansas. This was the kickoff for yet another multi-million dollar PR blitz to try buffing up Walmart's tarnished image. Indeed, its image is so tarnished that city after city, from New England to California, have been rejecting Walmart's attempts to bulldoze its way into their communities, specifically rejecting Walmart's low-wage, anti-worker, anti-neighborhood, predatory business practices. Rather than fix any of these practices, H. Lee lashed out at anyone who dares question how the $288 billion a year behemoth treats people and communities. He especially decried those of us who object to the $15,000 a year poverty pay that workers average there. He wailed that poor Walmart, the world's largest retailer, has such a thin profit margin that it simply can't afford to pay middle-class wages. This is Jim Hightower saying, before you weep for Walmart, consider that it raked in more than $10 billion in declared profits last year, and that its competitors pay up to three times the Walmart wage and still make a nice profit. In fairness, though, Walmart's generous to some of its employees. H. Lee pockets $4.7 million a year.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
WWNR Beckley.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 23 minutes and change before 9 o'clock here in beautiful uptown Beckley at Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Couple of things real quick. Just sort of grabbed me as I listened to the news today as I drove in. Did you see the story where Zacharias Moussaoui pleaded guilty today? Alleged to be the 20th hijacker. Of course, he says he wasn't. He says he was learning to fly a 747 for a completely separate mission of death and destruction. You know, I'm not exactly broken up with sympathy for this guy. But it looks like he has outsmarted the United States. Really. Not kidding. Because he's pleading guilty to conspiracy and co-conspiracy, and these things carry the death penalty. And he announced that he understood that it carried the death penalty, but he was going to go ahead and plead guilty to it anyway, and then at the sentencing phase, he was going to vigorously oppose the death penalty. And the talking heads and the legal experts, all of the ones that I heard, were wringing their hands saying, he must be crazy to do something like this. His lawyer says he's crazy. Of course, he says his lawyer's crazy. He must be crazy to do something. Why would he do something? He's facing the death penalty. Yeah, he's crazy, all right. Crazy like a Saudi fox. I guess, actually, he's Moroccan through French ancestors. I don't know. Who cares? No, he's outsmarted the United States government. He's going to stand up there and oppose the death penalty, and he's going to rant and rave, and he's going to talk, and somewhere along the way, he's probably going to talk about why America had it coming. At which point, the American people will rise up as one and scream bloody murder for this guy's head. This guy knows he's going to die. This guy knows that we are going to ritually kill him. All the other hijackers are dead. This one we're going to get. He knows this. You know this. I know this. Little bitty babies in strollers know this. So what? And, you know, I can hear that. I can hear the wheels turning. You've already figured it out. The decent people, the non-Bush voters, you've already figured it out. And it's kind of spooky, to say the least. We're going to clamor for his head. We're going to clamor for him to die. And he is going to die. But he is going to make darn sure that he tells us why he doesn't deserve to die in the hearing. And it will go around the world. And then, when the judge pronounces the sentence of death upon him, a scream, an audible collective scream will rise up from the Muslim world. And the radical Muslims will say, see? See, we told you. They just like to kill Muslims. This is a holy war. George Bush was right early on when he said this was a crusade. It is a crusade. They'll kill any Muslim they can get their hands on. Yeah, that's, you know, you understand. You know, you working for minimum wage. You working for not much more than minimum wage. You struggling to keep food on the table and gas in the tank at the same time. You figured it out. On the other hand, the clowns that we pay God knows how many hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to figure this stuff out, they haven't figured it out. This guy's about four moves ahead of them in a game where he's playing chess and we're playing checkers. Really? And then we'll kill him, and then he'll be a, right, martyr. Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Of course it does. We get played like a Stradivarius every time we turn around. And of course, you know, part of the argument about Misawi, you know, we were just going to hold him indefinitely. But part of the argument about Misawi and some of the arguments that have been advanced by the people, and yes, they are people. Don't kid yourself. They're people. The people who we're holding in Guantanamo, the people whom we render, you know, just like you do lard, the people whom we render to torture states like Syria and Egypt. It has been said of them that they have no rights because they are not American citizens. Right? Click Fox, click CNN, click CNBC, click MSNBC, click CBS, click ABC, click NBC. You know, talking heads all over the place agreeing. No, they're not American citizens. They don't have none of those human rights. Yeah, dig this. Judicial Watch. No, it's not a liberal organization. It's run by a freak named Larry Klayman who spent 8 years trying to get a peek inside Bill Clinton's zipper. Judicial Watch announced, announced Wednesday, that it has obtained documents through the Freedom of Information Act in which the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FEBS, have invoked... Oh, sit down. Don't sit down. Tear at your hair and run screaming around the room. The FBI has invoked the privacy rights protections on behalf of Osama bin Laden. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. I'm not kidding. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, pursuant to a Freedom of Information Act request by Judicial Watch, has invoked privacy right protections on behalf of Osama bin Laden. In a September 24, 2003 declassified secret FBI report obtained by Judicial Watch, the FBI invoked exemption number six, number six, number six, number six, exemption number six under FOIA law on behalf of bin Laden. Now that's damn nice of them if you ask me. Exemption number six permits the government to withhold all information about U.S. persons in personnel and medical files and similar files when the disclosure of such information would constitute a clearly unwarranted invasion of personal privacy. Oh! Now, you can have your identity stolen, you can have your identity kept, held, and then stolen by Choice Point, or by LexisNexis, or by any other of these various and sundry data miners, and that's okay. And if your identity happens to get stolen, that's okay, too, because the United States Congress made sure of it, and George Bush damn well signed it, that you and the other people similarly situated and thus similarly injured can't sue in a class action suit in state court or something like that. No. You wouldn't want you running around winning life's lottery now, would we? On the other hand, if Judicial Watch wants information under the Freedom of Information Act from the FBI, the FBI, your FBI, my FBI, our FBI, our Federal Bureau of Investigation, Lord God, Billy Bob, Exemption 6, they will claim Exemption 6 if you want to know about Osama bin Laden. Listen to it again. Oh my goodness gracious, it's like playing Stairway to Heaven the second time. It's just that good. The FBI invoked Exemption 6 on behalf of bin Laden, and Exemption 6 allows a government agency to withhold all information about, here's where the lights and the bells and the whistles go off, U.S. persons in personnel and medical files and similar files, when the disclosure of such information would constitute a clearly unwarranted invasion of personal privacy. A U.S. person. Absolutely, a U.S. person. In personnel and medical files. Now, who in the United States do you suppose might have a personnel file on Osama bin Laden? Take a minute. Come on. It's easy. Because you know there is a personnel file about Osama bin Laden. It's not a criminal file. It's an employee personnel file about Osama bin Laden, and it is held by an agency of the United States government. There's your first hint, the word agency. It doesn't take much intelligence to figure out which agency it might be. Although it's not right down there in the District of Columbia, it is centrally located to the D.C. area, this agency that doesn't take much intelligence to figure out which one it is. Oh, there you go. Oh, you caught me. It's the Central Intelligence Agency. That's right. Your CIA, my CIA, our CIA. Doc, there he goes. He's off on one of his conspiracy theories, Ethel. No! He was our employee for all the years of the Afghan resistance, and sometime after, he was our employee. He was our guy in Kandahar. Yeah, that Osama. The one that Ronnie Reagan, with what few brain cells were still firing in his sad, pickled little brain, would go on to call some of the world's most dedicated freedom fighters. Yeah, that Ronnie, that Osama. And medical files, they're off limits too. Would constitute a clearly unwarranted invasion of personal privacy. Shh. Now, I have to ask this quietly because otherwise I'm going to start screaming. Why does the FBI give a tinker's damn about Osama's personal privacy? Tora Bora, anyone? Were we concerned? Is that why we didn't get him in Tora Bora? We were concerned with his personal privacy? Let's see. Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton. It is dumbfounding that the United States government has placed a higher priority on the supposed privacy rights of Osama bin Laden than the public's right to know what happened in the days following the September 11th terrorist attacks. It is difficult for me to imagine a greater insult to the American people, especially those whose loved ones were murdered by bin Laden on that day. Easy. Easy. I agree with Mr. Fitton. And the idea of the Bush administration pleading personal privacy on bin Laden is especially, nauseating when you consider that the Bush administration itself is running hither, thither, and yon over the country and has been for quite some time grabbing fistfuls of medical records about women who have made terrible, tortured decisions about whether or not to have an abortion. Osama bin Laden has more privacy rights in this country than a woman does in her gynecologist's office. Oh, Margaret. Really and for true? Yeah. Osama bin Laden has more privacy rights in the United States. Well, I mean, you understand that in large part, a woman's right to control the functions of her own body were elucidated as a privacy right in Griswold versus Connecticut. No, not Roe versus Wade. Not Roe versus Wade. You dim-witted anti-woman womb zipperers. Griswold versus Connecticut. Just think of Chevy Chase in the vacation movies. Griswold versus Connecticut. That's where the privacy right comes from. And people like, well, virtually any knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing, right-wing religion industry freak of a Republican will tell you there ain't no such thing, Bob, as no right to privacy. It ain't in the Constitution, just like it don't say separation of church and state, it ain't there. Never mind the interpretive qualities of the Supreme Court and their right to interpret what the Constitution means. That all goes in. No. That's what happens when you got your liberal activist judges. So, you know, Fat Tony Scalia, Slappy Thomas, they'll tell you a woman does not have a right to privacy in the United States Constitution. But in the Freedom of Information Act, Sunshine, Osama bin Laden has a right to privacy. And among the documents was a declassified secret FBI report dated September 24, 2003, entitled Response to October 2003 Vanity Fair Article. Yeah, we got people sitting around in government writing responses to Vanity Fair articles and getting thousands of dollars for doing it. Have you seen any of this? I haven't. Have you seen any of this in the news? Any banner headlines, FBI says Osama has greater privacy rights than any woman in America? Any U.S. person, the FBI has elevated Osama bin Laden to the level of citizenship. Well, howdy-do. You know, I used to joke a lot about, you know, we'd say, where's Osama, where's Osama, where's Osama? And I would from time to time joke that he was probably in George Bush's basement in Crawford shooting 8-ball with Saddam. I'm not sure anymore that was such a joke. Because he has to be a U.S. person in order to invoke this FOIA rule, this exemption. And part of the argument for sending all these combatants to Gitmo was the fact that they wouldn't technically be on U.S. soil and therefore no federal law could apply to them. And here we are quoting federal law affording rights to Osama bin Laden. Privacy rights. I'll be damned. Privacy rights. Now this is George Bush's FBI. This is Dick Cheney's FBI. And yea, verily, I sit here low and I wait. Can I get an explanation? Because this is completely past my tiny liberal progressive mind. I need some big-brained conservative to explain to me why George Bush's FBI says Osama has privacy rights. I'm not kidding. I'm begging. I need this explained to me. Because I've been reading this thing for 3 days. You know, mouth hangs open. You're afraid you're going to start catching flies. You crank it back up again. And then you read it again. Personnel and medical files and similar files when the disclosure of such information would constitute a clearly unwarranted invasion of personal privacy. Yeah, that's why I was run screaming into the night once. Osama's personal privacy. Oh, shut up, Bob, and move. No, I'm not moving on to the next topic. I want this one to sink in. The personal privacy rights of Osama bin Laden are being zealously protected by the FBI. Wonder if that includes his dialysis records. Those are medical records. That could be. You see, we thought it was all conspiracy theory. Careful what you conspiracy theorize or relegate thereto. Because the next thing you know, you'll be finding out that somebody's got privacy rights when they're sitting in a cave in Pakistan somewhere. And you don't, and you're an American. Ugh. All right, break. This is Head On. I'm Bob.
The world championship match had already lasted over 5 months. The young man was going strong. His story next on Biography for Radio.
The notion of a 40-hour work week is several hours short of reality. Working long hours is a given when you run your own business. And since it's tough to be away from your business during the day, we offer special gold key hours, early morning hours from 7 to 10, when we're open exclusively for business members. We know that time and money are important to you. Helping you make the most of both is why we're here. Sam's Club. We are in business for small business.
It was 1984. The World Chess Championship was underway between the reigning champion, Anatoly Karpov, the young newcomer. Karpov was a veteran. His 21-year-old rival from Azerbaijan was said to be brilliant, a little eccentric. Before each match, he read Russian poetry. It gave him inspiration, he said. To win the championship, one player had to take 6 games. The two were well matched. Game after game was a draw. Karpov was dog-tired. He had lost 22 pounds in the weeks of play and had been hospitalized several times. But he was one game from winning and wanted to play on. So it came as a shock when the International Chess Federation called off the match, saying the players were exhausted. The younger man was bitter. A year later, he got his revenge. At the age of 22, he beat Karpov and became the youngest ever world chess champion. In the years following, he made headlines by outwitting the chess-playing computer Deep Blue, and then later losing to the machine. In March 2005, he stunned the world by suddenly announcing his retirement. With his avid interest in Russian politics, it is unlikely to be the last we hear from chess genius, Garry Kasparov. For Biography, I'm Lawrence Scott.
Biography is a trademark of A&D.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history.
You can depend on us.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
Forget report card day.
Yeah, my mom and dad sure didn't.
Can Jimmy come out and play?
This month, he'll be doing homework with his dad.
Family, isn't it about time? From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
News Talk 620 WWNR. Keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Channel. Slight risk of severe weather as we look at hail and wind from thunderstorms forming this evening. Overnight low eventually 52. We'll have clouds and showers and thunder is possible again with the upper low as we look at Saturday afternoon. High much cooler around 54 with a pretty good west breeze. We'll hold in Sunday's forecast with occasional snow showers, believe it or not. Pretty cold front coming through. High only 39 on Sunday.
WWNR Beckley.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 9 o'clock. 53 minutes and change left in the week. The 2 days of downtime, you know, Sunday, pulled through, till we get back at it again on Monday. I'll miss you guys. I'm getting sad already. I might cry. This little thing, and again, you might have seen it, you might not, you know, the story was filed a few days, week or so ago, it's not Bush specific. You get this story every tax time, you find out how much the president paid in taxes, blah, 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 blah. And it turns out, well, never mind the particular numbers, we know he's rich as Croesus. That's why he behaves the way he does. But down in the down at the bottom, well, I mean, do you do your own taxes? Or if you have somebody do the taxes for you, do you pay attention to them? Down there at the bottom where you're filling out your address, or at the top where you're filling out your address, I was thinking about the bottom where the preparer's signature is. No, up at the top with where your name and address is. And it says, do not use a post office box. Only use a post office box if the postal service will not deliver mail to your residential address. You've seen that, right? It's the little things that matter. Really, it is. They are. Whatever. Now, back when that most ethical man, Jimmy Carter, was president of the United States, he would file his taxes. Just see. And up there on the address, it would say, Jimmy Carter, White House, Washington, D.C. So he put down her address. That's where he lived. And when Bill Clinton was president, Bill Clinton, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C. Because, and this may come as a complete surprise to some right-wingers, not to the decent people, of course, the post office is pretty good at getting mail to the White House. They do deliver mail to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. So you gotta, or at least I did, sit up, pink little ears perked up, and just ask, why? Why is it? Why? Because as with everything else, the law is for us and not for a Bush. Laws, we don't need no stinking laws. Because on George Bush's tax return, now remember it says, do not use a post office box unless the Postal Service will not deliver mail to your physical address. Well, on the box where George and Mrs. Bush, Laura, filled in their address, it says George and Laura Bush, P.O. Box, whatever. And some of you are sitting there thinking, Crawford, Texas. Crawford, Texas. I'll bet that dimwit put as his address Crawford, Texas. It would make sense, wouldn't it? I mean, remember, how many weeks out of his first year in office, you know, when crazed Arabs were flying planes into buildings, how many weeks out of his first year in office did George Bush spend at Crawford instead of at his job? What was it, 42%? 42% of the time in his first term in office he spent on vacation. So it would not be beyond the pale to imagine George Bush putting his address as some P.O. box in Crawford, Texas. You can be forgiven for imagining that. You would, however, be wrong. Now, apparently, George's residential address is now a P.O. box in, of all places, I mean it, of all places, Chicago, Illinois. Now, why, you ask, as did I, would George Bush list as his home address Chicago, Illinois? And the irony, thank you, irony God, is way too good. George Bush's address is a post office box in Chicago, Illinois, because that's where his blind trust is. You know what a blind trust is, of course you do. Supposedly, he put all of his money in a blind trust and he has no idea what it's invested in. He would be shocked. Shocked, I tell you, shocked to find out that he has vast holdings in Halliburton. Shocked. But talk about it. Home is where the heart is. Lord God, yes, home is where the heart is. How sad. I told you these people worship money. There he is, living in the People's Mansion in Washington, D.C., vacationing at a ranch that he bought just before the 2000 presidential campaign so that he could look like a, you know, real live, honest to goodness, Texas cowboy, yeehaw, in a golf cart. But the money, oh, the money, honey, is in Chicago. And that's where his heart is, and that's where his address is. And by the way, He's breaking the law when he does that. But it's okay. When a Bush breaks the law, well, it's just another day. When a Bush breaks the law, it's SOP. When a Bush breaks the law, the entire world is supposed to look in another direction. And so, George Bush's residence, his domicile, if you want to use that word, it's not in D.C. It's not in Crawford. It's not any Bush's address is wherever the money is. And isn't that just about enough to gag a maggot? Oh, it defies description. It defies outrage. It defies sadness. It's pitiful, really. That man thinks more of where his money is than where his family is. Someday somebody really needs to teach him about some family values, don't they? He needs to listen to this program. He'd learn a lot from the hard-working people that call in and talk about their family values. Because he doesn't have any. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Too much at the pump? Is your monthly gas budget more expensive than your car payment?
Jeez!
If so, 40 miles per gallon on the highway sound like a dream come true. Well, time to drive in Beckley. We've got 35 Corollas available, and with 40 miles to the gallon on the highway available, what else can you ask for? L&S Toyota.
This is www.toyota.com. Sale ends 4/31.
Where there's a tornado.
Where there's a forest fire.
Where Mother Nature is at her worst.
We're there. Where there's a surge.
Where there's a rescue.
Where there are Americans in need.
We're there.
When disaster strikes.
We're one volunteer force.
Helping each other and simply doing what needs to be done.
We are the Civil Air Patrol.
The official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force.
To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338.
Or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
The defendant, having been found guilty, is sentenced to a term of 5 years imprisonment. Defendant will be remanded to custody immediately.
On June 4th, my big brother was sentenced to 5 years in prison for a gun crime. That day, he sentenced me to 5 years of walking home alone from school.
When you commit a gun crime, your family pays the price. Gun crimes hit home. A public service announcement brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
WWNR Beckley.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness. Bob Kincaid, Head On.
Welcome back. Call it 18 minutes after 9 o'clock. This is Head On. I'm Bob. I mean, we're on a first-name basis here, aren't we? I mentioned at the top of the show the business with the announcement of the new chairman of the Joint Chiefs and the vice chairman. And let's just have a little exercise here. Let's all say it together, because we're just that smart. Giambastiani. 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 That's the new vice chairman for the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Ed Giambastiani. You have just done something that George Bush cannot do. The doofus in chief cannot say Giambastiani. You know, what a slap in the face, what a stomp of the toe, what a big old loogie spit right in the face of the Italian American community it is for him to sit there in front of millions of people and say, and this is the quote. John Kepi found it for me on the whitehouse.gov, not the parody site, whitehouse.gov. Because he has served in the job, General Pete Pace also understands the important role that the vice chairman plays. Today, I am pleased to announce that I have nominated an outstanding military officer, he shall be known as Admiral G. That's, and for those of you who listen through the day, and the people in the White House cover up and clean up for this ignoramus that some people call president. Because here's what it says. Let's go back. Today, I am pleased to announce that I have nominated an outstanding military officer, Admiral Ed Giambastiani. He shall be known as Admiral G. Anyway, he's going to be vice chairman. Why do they feel the need to clean up after this man? I mean, and then later on in the transcript, he says, General Pace says, but if confirmed, I am delighted that I'll have the opportunity to work side by side with Admiral G. The president. Thanks for bailing me out. General Pace. I am trainable, Mr. President. And then he says, Admiral G and his wife Cindy and family are incredible Americans. Blah, 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 blah. I know you hate it when I do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. This is beginning to resemble... It's like... What? Everybody around Hitler had to quit smoking. And God knows you couldn't laugh at him. Is it me, or are Republicans just hopeless, soulless, humorless, robotic things? You understand that George laughs to cover up his stupidity. And the other people laugh because they know that if they don't, people are watching and they will be in the hot and deep stuff. Even to the point of a Marine Corps general. I am trainable, Mr. President. I'll be delighted to have the opportunity to work side by side with Admiral Ed G. Giambastiani. 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 This is going to be the number two man in the Joint Chiefs of Staff. What's Bush going to say if he ever wants to talk to him? You know he's going to forget the G part. Get me that Italian sailor. Oh, God. It hurts. It hurts. It hurts. Sometimes you feel like Gollum here. Oh, it burns his head. He shall be known as Admiral G. Do you find that funny? Do you find it funny that George Bush cannot pronounce the name of an admiral in the United States Navy? I mean, what do you... George is nominating him for this position! At least in theory, he is aware of the man's existence and the fact that the man has a name. Right? Or are the little Bush voters out there ready to concede that this man has no power in the White House whatsoever, and everything that is done in his name is done in his name only, and that then they trot him out like some sick little marionette and pull his strings so that he can say, Admiral Ed Giambi? Is it Giambi? No, he plays baseball. Giamatti? No, he was baseball commissioner. You ready to concede that, Bush voters? You. Little short words here. You elected an idiot. Really? You did. He shall be known as Admiral G.
I am trainable, Mr. President. I'll be pleased to work with Admiral G.
This guy just got deprived of his entire last name. The President of the United States just deprived this man of his entire family heritage. He's no longer Admiral Ed Giambastiani. He's just plain old Ed G. Fit to go to an AA meeting with George W. Great heavenly days. I don't know about the abilities of General Pete Pace. I don't know if Admiral Ed Giambastiani can row a canoe. One would think that after they've risen through the military hierarchy that there would be something to recommend them. Obviously, there was someone to recommend them. But that someone couldn't be bothered to teach the President of the United States, the erstwhile leader of the free world, oh, God, to say the man's name. And don't kid yourself, if the man's name had been Smith, he would have screwed up something. I said it a few nights ago. I stand by my words. George W. Bush is America's biggest screw-up. And we did the litany. Everything he has touched, he has screwed up. And now, for an encore, he wants to... I mean, it's like the reverse of the Midas touch. You know, remember everything that King Midas touched turned to gold? Everything George touches turns to death and darkness and creepy crawliness. And now he wants to lay the healing hands of faith on Social Security. Any guesses which way that'll go? Please see the aforementioned Medicare prescription drug bill if you want a little hint. I just feel sorry for Admiral Giambastiani. You know, and look, it's not like I got a pronouncer here. You know, the AP sends pronouncers. Giambastiani. I don't have one of those. I'm just sitting here looking at Giambastiani. Giambastiani. I could hand this to most anybody in this building or walking around this building. I could hand this to just about any number of people and say, what's that name? It might take them a couple of minutes. They'd get pretty close. They'd say maybe Giambastiani, Giambastiani. That's the dialect and the accent, though. That's Giambastiani. George Bush nominated this man to be the number two guy at the Pentagon and has known about it for a while. You got to assume he's known about it for a while, right? I mean, he didn't just wake up this morning saying, well, I need me a new chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and I'm the number two man. I want a guy with an unpronounceable Italian name. I'm pretty sure that's not how it happened. I mean, this guy's been vetted and checked out. Everyone from his sandbox playmates at age four forward have been interviewed to make sure that this guy never had any democratic or communist leanings or anarcho-syndicalist or moderate Republican leanings. He's been checked out. And all through this process, nobody can teach George Bush to say Giambastiani. It boggles the mind. It makes you wonder what's going on. Somebody around there is carrying the nuclear football. And that's enough to bring you up out of bed at 3 o'clock in the morning in a cold sweat. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Police are looking for the person or persons who broke into parked vehicles at Little Beaver State Park this week. Someone broke the windows of five vehicles Tuesday, stole purses and other items. The break-ins occurred in the parking lot behind the playground at the park, and sheriff's deputies say they have suspects but are withholding names pending investigation. Anyone who saw a suspicious vehicle or any suspicious activity related to this incident should call the sheriff's office. Their number 255-9300. Beckley police have arrested a man suspected of using a fake ID to open a bogus checking account. He's Eric Von Washington of Seattle, arrested yesterday morning after police received a tip he was staying in a house on Antonio Avenue. When police went to the house to investigate, Washington went to an upstairs bedroom, jumped out the window, and fled on foot. Police chased him from Antonio to Mule Avenue, where he was arrested. They found false identification cards in his possession. Washington is thought to have stolen the photo ID of a Louisiana man and used it to open a checking account at City National Bank. He's suspected of cashing a number of worthless checks in local businesses. A Mercer County woman is dead after an early morning accident on the turnpike near Gent. State police say Chastity Sue Rose of Princeton was traveling south on I-77 around 7 o'clock this morning when her car went through the median and into the northbound lane where it went into the rear wheels of a tractor trailer. Rose was pronounced dead at Raleigh General. No other vehicles involved in the tractor trailer driver was not injured. That's the news. Now here's the forecast. For the rest of this evening, showers and thunderstorms. Some could contain gusty winds and heavy rain. Temperatures drop now to around 50 tonight. Saturday, much cooler with showers. Showers beginning to move in around 4 o'clock. And Saturday's high near 40. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack. When you need to know.
This is America on the Road. New technology might help prevent pedestrian injuries as a result of car crashes. We'll have all the details for you next. Stay tuned.
A Driving Today Minute. Auto buyers leave millions of dollars on the table each year out of sheer ignorance about auto loans. Before you start shopping for a car, you should first check your credit rating. It plays an important role in determining the interest rate. Correct any errors and identify open lines of credit you can close before you go looking for a car loan. Most people know they can get a car loan from the dealer's finance department, but that rate is often marked up to provide a dealer a profit. So do some research by surfing the net where you can find several sources of low-rate car loans. Then you can arrive at the dealership with financing in hand. By becoming pre-approved, you can quickly determine whether the financing you're offered in the showroom is a better deal than the one you've already secured. This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners like Auto Buyers Advice, acarplace.com, and more.
This is Jack Murat. You wouldn't think that recognizing the fact your vehicle struck a pedestrian was a major issue. Since the vast majority of drivers are sighted, one might think that they could tell whether they hit a human or a tree stump. But apparently it is a bigger issue than you might guess. Beginning late this year, European regulations will require all new cars to meet standards protecting pedestrians and bicyclists against head and leg injuries. One technology that could aid in this quest is FlexPoint Sensors System's Bend Sensor. It offers the ability to differentiate a human leg from an inanimate object accurately in milliseconds. The Bend Sensor facilitates the creation of a pedestrian safety system that measures vehicle-human impact by analyzing deflection through a strip of sensors applied to the underlayer of the vehicle's bumper. Upon impact, the system automatically activates a safety reaction to reduce fatalities. Having already successfully undergone significant lab testing by an automotive supplier, the system is currently being analyzed on a manufacturer's test vehicle. While the technology won't be available in vehicles you can buy for several years, it could lessen the severity of car pedestrian accidents. And we'll have more next time right here on America on the Road from CBS Westwood One.
WWNR Beckley.
Here's Bob Kincaid. Head on.
Welcome back. All right, heading into the home stretch now. It's officially Friday, 24 minutes before 10 o'clock. Ed is with us and has been waiting. Hey, Ed, you're head on.
Howdy. How you doing this evening, Bob?
Oh, pretty good. Ed, yourself?
Ah, pretty good. When did y'all get your phones back?
I don't know. I got here and we didn't even know they were working until we got our first call.
Yeah. I listened to the program earlier. But there's, you know, the people that you're talking about, Bush, the people that's for him are stinking stupid that it's still anything he does is acceptable.
Oh, I know.
There's really not enough words to describe the distaste, distrust, the ignorance, and arrogant ways, and plus the lies, that they're just not enough to describe the kind of disgust that builds up when you think about what an idiot he is, and that a C-class person can become president, and then it's no wonder the corporations are ruling the world. They have to be A1 people when they get out of college, but our country would accept a C student as president of a nation.
Oh, I know.
Plus, I wonder how much of that was a gimme, Bob.
Well, I've seen the transcript. If you're going to say he was a C student, you're going to have to say that he was a low C student. I mean, he crawled out of Yale on his belly, hanging on for dear life. I mean, let's put it this way, Ed. If he had not had that Bush name going for him, and had the alumni affirmative action going for him, that he would never have been granted a degree. I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and it's a bad. Not only is he a bad reflection of this nation and the people he's supposed to represent, well, you really say misrepresent, but Yale has got to say what did we do to let him graduate and come through the school.
Well, and I mean, but frankly, it's an indictment, Ed, of the cream of the Ivy League crop. Not just Yale gave him a degree; Harvard handed him a master's degree in business administration.
Gosh, yeah, he's a businessman, all right.
Yeah,
I mean,
you'll get the business.
Yeah, but the reason I called you, we made the national news tonight.
How so?
On that pedophile deal over here, and where they almost had to move that. Now, I'm not sure they didn't have to move it out of the county to get the guy indicted. You know, where they killed that boy. It was on 48 hours tonight.
The Jeremy Bell case.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It was on there a good bit of the program. So it's a shame that has to be brought to the stage like it is to get the attention that deserves.
Well, it does deserve attention.
Well, that's just another reflection of our county and what we talked about on Shirley Love. That's typical. Bob, what it boils down to, if the people just wake up, we've got two representatives here, and that's Tom Luises and Randy White.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's all just a ball of corruption. And, you know, it was investigated, and some of them was almost caught up. Some of them were caught up in it when the FBI was called in and investigated, but I think I mentioned before that a guy named Dave Brown messed up the thing, and before they could get finished, he tripped a lever before it was time.
Yeah.
But it's we are the pits in this county. And the thing of it is that Clay and Upshur and another county is involved where they don't get the word. All they know is that Saturday night wrestling mentality. And that's what one of them was. He was an announcer for that.
Oh, I know.
And that's where the outreach goes. They remember that. And it's just pitiful. But, I mean, it's like that from the top down anymore.
Yeah, but, Ed, I got to ask you a question. Is some of this not our fault?
If you voted for them and...
Well, wait. I mean, yeah, certainly along those lines. But to the extent, are we out there fielding good progressive candidates?
No, not really. But Bob, I've seen as high as 13 candidates run, and some, you know, when I was on that political action committee, I have seen some good ones.
Mm-hmm.
But because they couldn't win, they didn't have the name to win, they were overlooked. Didn't have the money or the name. And that's the way it works.
Well, that's the way the system as it is currently constituted works, Ed. You know, if you've got 13 candidates on a ballot, whoever the incumbent is going to win.
Uh-huh.
That's like trying to shoot at a fly with scattershot.
Yeah.
I mean, you might get the fly, but most likely you're going to get everything around him and leave him standing.
Uh-huh. Well, that's the way they work it here. And believe me, I know. If one of the candidates that's not very popular is going to win, that we know what they are, then they will put somebody up in that particular area where they're weak out of that area to draw those votes.
Sure.
I'm telling you, you wouldn't believe how, you know, so sometime we'll have a conversation on how the political realm works in this county. Well, it's not just this county, anywhere. If it's like the layout here on the senators and the like of that kind of people, you would believe just how conniving and crooked and underhanded. And you wonder, well, how do they do that? How do they spend that much money? Where do they get it back? It don't take any genius to know that they're going to get that money back some way.
Well, it doesn't take a genius to go down and read the financial disclosure forms. I mean, you can do it on the computer now from the Secretary of State's office.
Yeah. But another one we made was the 9.5-foot snake that got loose. Do you see that?
No, I missed that.
That's over at Summerlee here about...
Oh, yeah, I know where Summerlee
is. 8 miles from here. I forget what a python. It was a python, 9.5 foot. And they can't find it. Well, but the guy got on television at Davis and said, oh, it's harmless. It's got small teeth, but it's harmless. It's going to be harmless till it gets hungry and then it crushes the dogs and cats or whatever.
Yeah. Well, but then again, yeah. You can never sell the outdoorsman spirit of West Virginia short. Somebody may already have caught it and killed it and had it for dinner. I know.
Hopefully.
I know. Shame on me, Ed.
Yeah. Well, I hope they have, because that's a danger to a little child.
Sure it is.
But anyway, I just thought I'd call in and give George Bush my compliments, if that's what you want to call him.
Your regards or lack thereof.
Yeah, and it's just so despicable that, you know, I can't really express the disgust I feel for the people that put him in. It's just a pitiful state of affairs.
Well, but, you know, I guess there's some cold comfort in knowing that there will come a day when you won't be able to find a Bush voter.
Oh, yeah. I got some of those... don't blame me, I voted Democrat stickers left.
Good. Hold on to one for me, would you?
I sure will.
I need that.
All
Ed,
right,
thanks
so
much.
I got a couple left.
You have yourself a great weekend now, all right?
All right, you too, Bob.
Take care.
Bye.
Down in Charleston today, the guest speaker, and I'd never heard him before, but I have real admiration for him beyond the content of his speech. Judge Wilson from, I believe, Hancock County. He's the chief presiding judge over all the asbestos litigation in West Virginia. It takes real starch to stand up in the Charleston Civic Center in front of a group of people comprised of everything from fourth graders to 12th graders, and mommies and daddies and grannies and granddads and aunts and uncles. And, you know, if you've ever been in a civic center, there's that dull roar that just, you know, it's just people noise. That man stood up there and gave a 1-hour lecture and never even let it faze him. And how brilliant he was. The topic of his discussion was the right of Americans to a jury trial and what we are and what is happening to us as we piece by piece deliberately throw that right to a jury trial away. And he had a PowerPoint presentation, and I looked at my daughter and I said, let's get up a little bit closer. I want you to hear what this man has to say. And piece by piece, line by line, with exhortations and admonitions and commentary from the likes of Washington and Jefferson and Madison, those people whom we deem great, at every turn saying, America will only be America for so long as we have redress to the jury system. Because they were a little closer in time to an England of something called the Court of Star Chamber, where you could be charged, tried, and convicted, and never even know you were in trouble until they came to take you away and chop your head off. They knew about that kind of thing, and it was fairly fresh in their memory. Fresher in theirs than it is in ours. Star what? Star Chamber. Is that what she calls her sauna? The Star Chamber? Or is that a new reality show? Well, it was some reality, all right. But he addressed the third-party bad faith legislation. And he said, we're not just getting rid of our jury system, we're throwing it away and singing about it. I'm paraphrasing. He's absolutely right. He is absolutely right. And again, is it a question of that's how we want it? Or is it a question of we're negligent of it? Or is it a question of we don't know, and for the most part, there are significant portions of the societal structure and governmental political structure that don't want us to know? I mean, the third-party bad faith is a done deal. Is it going to come as a surprise? No, not to the listeners to this program, no. But to some, it will come as a surprise when they have horrible injuries at the hands of another in a car wreck and the insurance company drags its heels and these victims slide down the steady, pitiful, sad slope of economic, financial, emotional ruin, when the money stresses begin to tear the marriage apart because an insurance company gave us all $8 a month. Will they look up then and say, what do you mean I can't sue the insurance company? And their lawyer looks at them and says, well, didn't you get the $8 a month rebate on your car insurance? Well, yeah, I thought the rates had just dropped. Uh-uh. You traded something for that. You sold something for it. You bought a bill of goods from some pro-insurance people for that. And I think I counted 4 dead deer on the side of the road between home and Charleston today. And it occasioned, it gave me pause to think, you know, why are the insurance rates like they are here? Well, you know, there are counties in West Virginia where there aren't 100 feet of straight road. There are counties in West Virginia where you have a greater chance of seeing a deer on the road than you do another automobile. And those deer cost the insurance company, here comes a pun, dearly. But of course, there was an opportunity to cover those costs by blaming the mean old consumers. And that's what they did. And Judge Wilson did a brilliant job of explaining it. And if one, and he addressed this, if one fourth grader, if one fifth grader, one sixth grader heard 10% of what he said and just asked questions about it, there might be hope. because frankly, what can be done can be undone. The proof of that lies in the bad faith bill. We had the right to sue an insurance company. It was undone. We can undo that. One story here. Although it happened in October 2003, it has only now been revealed that a man undergoing coronary bypass surgery at Virginia Mason Medical Center in Seattle caught fire during the operation. Now, the hospital says the cause of death was not catching fire. I'm guessing when you're having coronary bypass surgery and you catch fire, catching fire has something to do with it, right? And what happened was alcohol that had been poured on the patient during the pre-op process caught fire when the doctor set down the electrocauterizer. Now, aren't you glad we have medical malpractice reform in this state? Oh, glory. If a heart surgeon sets you on fire, well, you know, we wouldn't want him to threaten to leave West Virginia again, especially not a doctor that good. Wow. Haven't heard from Gary in a while. Hey, Gary, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Pretty good. Happy Friday.
Same to you. Haven't heard your show for a while. Been out of town, but remind me not to go to that doctor. I don't care if he does get to stay.
Oh, you know, I mean, hospital's a hell of a place to be sick.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, I heard you make a comment about taking away our right to sue. Really, we've got that right. We've got that constitutional right for our day in court. And as far as I'm concerned, everything that they're doing up there is just totally unconstitutional.
Well, it is. I mean, I talked to Judge Wilson afterward, and I said, how can you square this with the fact that the West Virginia Constitution says that the courts of the state shall be open to every citizen? And he said, you can't. He said, you can't. But they did.
Well, this isn't the only thing they've done that on. They've done that on a lot of different things. But let me ask you this. What are we as citizens supposed to do when our government passes unconstitutional laws that are... It, on the face of it, to me, just patently, totally unconstitutional, right on the face of it.
Well, Gary, if you take the idea of citizenship seriously, and I know you do, then you get, then you find a friend, and the friend finds a friend, and the friend's friend finds a friend, and you know how it works. It's a shampoo commercial. And if you've got one of these no-goods that voted for that that insurance legislation, that giveaway bill in this county, then you bend heaven and earth to throw the bum out. And you find a friend in another county where there was one of these bums, and you start and you get a movement going there, and you throw the bum out. And you throw the bums out until it gets scary enough to the rest of them that they realize that you damn well mean business.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've done this on so many other things, like these asset and forfeiture laws.
Yeah.
You know, more or less where they just come in and just take your stuff and say, well, sorry, Charlie.
I know well what you mean.
On these condemnations, well, like this Walmart deal out there.
Yeah.
I mean, seizing a private property to turn it over to another private entity.
Blows my mind.
Well, I mean, we know the government can...
Now, some of that is up in front of the Supreme Court right now of the United States.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the case, maybe it's in Connecticut, where they seized a city block that was owned by this woman and out front said, look, we're seizing this because we want to sell it to somebody else.
Yeah.
And that is up in front of the Supreme Court. It seems to be a toss-up as to which way it'll go.
Well, they've done that a lot. They went up there in Detroit, and they took a whole city up there, a place called Pole Town up there, and they run out, I think, is over 2,000 people. And they built some sort of, I don't know, I think it was a RAND center or something like that they built up there. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
But what good is the Constitution if you just treat it like toilet paper and don't pay any attention to it?
It's no good whatsoever.
Well, if we don't have a legitimate law, then what we got is it just every man for himself?
Well, no, it's come on, Gary, you know what it is. It's the F word. It's fascism. You know, the Germans had a constitution, too. And all they had to do was ignore it.
Yeah. Well, that's why we can't really, I guess, govern ourselves, because we can make up all these laws and everything. And I got real mad one time at, you've heard of Larry Pratt?
Yeah.
Well, he sent me a letter. He was a member of some sort of gun rights protection organization. And he says, what we're trying to do, we're trying to pass legislation that reaffirms the Second Amendment. And it says the Second Amendment will be followed, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent him an extremely nasty letter. I said, don't ever bother me ever again. I said, the law is the law. And when you start having to pass laws to say, this law says that the first law is the law. Can you see how ridiculous that is?
Oh, it's utterly ridiculous. And that's stupid to begin with, Gary, because you cannot pass a statute that's going to reinforce a constitutional provision. The constitutional provision is what it is. It's supposedly, in a democratic society, it's the ultimate trump card.
Exactly. That's the way I look at it. It is the ultimate trump card. But, you know, with what's going on lately, I don't know what kind of card it is.
Well, you know, that's the thing, though. We've been divided, we've been conquered, and we've been suckered. You know, there were people that went to that NRA convention in Houston last week, and I'm sure some of them were very well-meaning, Gary.
Uh-huh.
But they've been suckered. They've been told that the most precious right is the right to keep and bear arms. But they were sitting there talking about it, proving that the most precious right is the First Amendment.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, you feel very strongly about not quartering troops in your house. And
yeah.
in which case, you might want to look to another one. Or the right to jury trial. And that was the argument I was hearing today, is that the right to a trial by jury is the rock upon which everything else stands. Because if any of those other things are violated, if you can take it before a jury of your peers, you can get it fixed.
Yeah.
But when they take your jury rights away, the rest of it can fly away like leaves off a tree in autumn, and all you can do is stand there and watch them blow.
Well, more or less, they've done that in so many instances already. Like, it's a... if I'm not mistaken, like if unemployment compensation claims, you have to go through an administrative law judge.
Yeah.
And you don't have a right to trial by jury there, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong about that.
No, you absolutely don't.
So
as it now stands, workers' comp in this state.
Yeah.
Because it goes through an administrative law judge, then through an appeal board, and then the Supreme Court of Appeals, and never does a jury see it.
Well, I don't consider any trial without a jury, unless you opt for that.
Yeah, unless that's the way you wanted it.
I don't consider that to be legitimate. I just don't. I'm sorry.
Well, it lacks the air of legitimacy. I'm sorry it's been so long since we heard from you, but we're out of time, Gary.
Nice talking to you, Bob. Get that garden out now. If you don't, well, you might have to plow snow to do it.
Right. Yeah, at this point, I'm feeling, you know, not so bad. I got this ugly burn on my hand. I can't hold the tiller handle either.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it bites. Gary, have a great weekend, man.
We'll see you, Bob.
Later. All right. Thanks, everybody. It's weekend time. The show tonight, of course, produced by the inimitable John Kepi, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Also brought to you by our very good friends, the West Virginia Pipe Trades. The show is archived every night by Ben Birch at whiterosesociety.org. Swing on by, see some of the wonderful progressive liberal thought that he has there. Hey, Agnes.